You ever wondered what it's like to scale a tech company? Well, how about two of them? In today's episode of The Growth Equation, we got to bring on Diana, who is the founder of Aqua Mobile and Marketbox. She got to bring a really interesting perspective about how you scale a sustainable bootstrap marketplace company like Aqua Mobile, and then told the story about how she transitioned from that business while it was still running to start her second company, Marketbox, a SaaS business. She really brings an awesome perspective about building sustainable businesses. What do you need to focus on first? And how do you get things off the ground? And how do you really think about sustainable growth? I'm super excited to bring her on. She's one of the really strong leading female tech founders within the Canadian ecosystem, and just had an amazing conversation with her. So let's jump into it and let's have a really great episode.
Hey, Diana, welcome to the Growth Equation podcast. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I think we're really fortunate to have a really awesome episode today, but I think it would just be really great for all of our listeners if you could just maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, tell us who you are and some of your background.
My name is Diana Goodwin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Marketbox, which is a sales and scheduling e-commerce platform designed specifically for service businesses with mobile workforces and virtual workforces. So we're really strong for businesses like mobile beauty service businesses, at-home personal training business, in-home tutoring, things like that. And you know, that's kind of, I guess, my latest endeavor that I've been working on. But prior to that, I had founded a company called Aqua Mobile, which is like Uber for swimming lessons, where we have swim instructors in all sorts of different cities across Canada, the United States, and Australia that will travel to clients' homes and teach private swimming lessons. And actually, I mean, that opportunity led to Marketbox, which I'm sure we'll get into later on. So that's, you know, I would say kind of that's professionally what I do. And that's where a lot of my passion lies, is just in technology, marketplace businesses, helping other businesses, no matter what size they are, but helping them leverage technology and understand the importance of it to helping them take their business to the next level and really succeed for years to come.
Awesome. I think that's a really great background. I think a follow-up question to that would be just around, I think we could start with this like a little bit around, you know, Aqua Mobile. How did you end up starting that business?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, way back when, so I'm going to go really far back here and say that when I was a kid, I was super, super entrepreneurial. I just loved starting different types of businesses. I was always kind of looking for something to create, some way to make money. So I had that spirit growing up, but as a teenager, I was a swimming instructor. And so I would work at the community pools and I would teach kids who are trying to learn how to swim. And in every class, there was, you know, a couple kids that would be struggling to learn. And it's not that they weren't good at it. The problem is they just needed a little bit more one-on-one time, which in a group situation, I couldn't give them. And I saw the effect it had negatively impacting their confidence. And so for me, that's kind of where the idea came from. Aqua Mobile was, I know that if these kids just were in a comfortable environment one-on-one with instructors, they would totally thrive. And so as a, you know, later when I was 19, 20, I would go to people's homes and teach private swim lessons. And I saw how that would work just, you know, me as an individual. And then I obviously went on and did like a stint in management consulting where I was no longer teaching swimming lessons anymore. But from there, like I still kind of had the idea in my head that I wanted to pursue this and have like roll up the industry basically and have other swim instructors teaching lessons. And so that's where the idea came from, Aqua Mobile. So I guess the seeds of it were planted when I had kind of been teaching myself and did private swimming lessons myself. And I saw the opportunity to really roll up the industry, have a brand name that people could trust, that they were going to get a good quality swim instructor and scale from there. So it was all kind of, you know, it started, I guess, as a side hustle. And then I, you know, after several years in management consulting, I took a year to go do my MBA at Kellogg School of Management in Chicago. And that's where I worked on Aqua Mobile to, you know, make it kind of where it is. Well, this planting the seeds of where it is today.
That's what I always hear with like classic entrepreneurs and you know, going after a passion. And then I think what's interesting about the business itself, it's a marketplace business, correct?
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, obviously marketplaces are, you know, have always been a hot topic, especially over the last probably 5 years or so. Sometimes we've always heard that they're some of the most challenging businesses to scale. What would you say is like some of the most important lessons you learned about trying to build a marketplace business?
Where to begin? Yeah. So first of all, I would say marketplace businesses, yes, they are hot, but they are also difficult. They are not for the faint of heart. It's a constant kind of battle of demand and supply. And so, you know, one of the things that I made sure, I knew early on that, you know, even though I was based in Toronto, I knew the future of the business was really to expand into the US and grow out that way. So for me, you know, to grow the marketplace, it's different for other industries, I would say, but for me, what I found early on was leveraging technology was the best way to scale with on a budget. So I was bootstrapping Aquamobile. I didn't have a budget to put boots on the ground in multiple major cities at once and really try and scale out. So I actually did try and experiment with that, and I couldn't do it kind of with the budget. But what I did find was working was the paid ads at the time, you know, leveraging Google and then just building organic traffic and just having a strong online presence allowed us to scale into multiple regions at a fairly low cost. So I would say that was kind of one of the big lessons. And, you know, oh gosh, there's just so many. I would say another thing is even kind of later on in the evolution of the Aquamobile marketplace, it's really been about keeping the balance of demand and supply. It's you can't let up on your key areas basically, because you know, we had that happen where maybe we dropped the ball in a couple areas and we let our instructor supply run a little too thin, didn't keep a good handle on it, and then our revenue dropped in those key areas. So we really had to kind of up our game and constantly be keeping on top of that and looking for the early signals that we were going to run into a supply issue so that we could fix it before it became a massive problem.
And are you someone that believes that you should be more like demand-led or supply-led? And when you move into like new, when you have to do like a city launch for the first time?
Yeah. So I guess I fall more into the camp of the demand-led. So when starting Aquamobile, I knew inherently what the big cities were going to be, right? The big cities were going to be highly populated, warmer areas with a little bit more of an affluent population. So, you know, it was kind of going for places like Los Angeles, San Diego, Miami, starting in some of those ones was where we kind of, so I mean, I guess I knew that the demand was going to be there. So I started recruiting swim instructors in those areas first. So that's, I mean, if you count that as demand led, that's kind of how we went and played that game. And we also then put out different, you know, landing pages to kind of get a sense of, okay, this is where we think the demand is, where is the demand truly located? And then we would use that to then recruit swim instructors as well.
And then I think something that would be really, some really great context for listeners. I know you and I chatted about how you've kind of successfully kind of bootstrapped without, you know, having to rely on VC funding. Maybe to kind of just walk us through that and like, you know, why did you kind of take that approach and some of the lessons you learned by doing that?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, first of all, when I was starting Aquamobile, the seeds of this was happening in 2011 when I was finishing up my MBA in Chicago. And the VC world, it was just starting to kind of really take off. I didn't have a strong awareness of it, to be honest, at the time. Uber was just becoming a thing. So even me trying to explain my idea to people was very difficult to do. It's not like back then I could go and say Uber for swimming lessons. So I would describe it and people would be like, oh, like there's a market for that. There's a, you know, that's a business. They just didn't get it. So, you know, so back then it just wasn't even in my realm of possibilities or thinking. And I think a part of that was because when I first started and was teaching swimming lessons, like I was always thinking about it from a profit first place. I wasn't thinking about the traditional VC model of have losses for multiple years before you start turning a profit. I just had come from a, you know, hey, let's just have good business practices from day one and grow from the revenue, like use the profits and invest it back into the company. So it just wasn't in my mindset, basically.
And then I think just a follow-up question, that what do you think is really, as you like bootstrap and focus on sustainable growth, what do you say like the most important things to focus on to help to, if anyone's listening and they're thinking about the same thing, I want to bootstrap, like what would you tell them that they should be focusing on?
So I would say really think about, be wise with how you're spending your dollars. Really think about what are the key things that is going to move the needle the most in your business, because you don't have room when you're bootstrapping to make a lot of errors and waste money. You just don't, for better or for worse. I think in one way, it forces you as an entrepreneur to really, you know, focus on the key activities and not get distracted, but you have to be precise with what you're doing. The other thing I would say, and this didn't necessarily apply, you know, when I was starting out Aqua Mobile, but it certainly applies now. I highly recommend other businesses, or whether it's marketplace founders, any other type of founder, don't go and reinvent the wheel. Don't feel like you have to go and dump a ton of money into technology to launch your business. There are so many opportunities out there now with other softwares that are available to make your life much easier. It's my belief that entrepreneurs should be, you know, getting to market as quickly as possible. And a great way to do that quickly and cheaply is to build your initial MVP or minimum viable product, build it with existing technologies, piece something together so that you can at least try your, you know, and see if there's a need and a market for what you're trying to sell before you go and dump a ton of money into it. It's just something that I've seen way too many entrepreneurs and founders do. They'll think that they have to go and hire from day one a tech team and you know, they'll go and spend a couple hundred thousand dollars building their MVP, but they've done so without really having users using the software or the product. And then they find that the first customers that they get, they actually can't use the system. It's broken. It's just not working to their specifications. And then they've got no money left for marketing and sales activities because they've spent it all on technology up front and it's gone nowhere. And it just kind of falls apart from there. I've seen it happen way too many times.
And then what would you tell people when it comes to building demand, right? We live in 2020 in a world where it's very easy to turn on paid channels to spend a bunch of money to drive demand. Like how would you think about them? What would you tell them to think about when it comes to like trying to create the sustainable growth when it comes to like if it's sales or marketing you need to invest in?
You're right. And I mean, it's a great way to blow through some money. And I think in the early days, you know, in both my companies, whether it was Aqua Mobile and Marketbox, there's definitely some upfront work to get the messaging right. It doesn't happen overnight. It really comes from, you know, you have your hypothesis of what your messaging is, who your target is, but you actually need to go out and do some activities that don't scale right away, like talking to who you think your customers are, seeing what type of language they're using when they think about your product and or service, and refine from there and keep refining that language. And as you refine, and you can do some small tests with paid ads, but use it as more of a refinement exercise until you really nail it, because that's when you're going to want to dump a lot of money into it. Once you've got some good metrics that you're seeing and you know that, you know, your return on ad spend is, you know, above a certain number, that's when you want to be dumping a lot of money into it. So, you know, especially for businesses that are bootstrapping, I highly recommend that approach at the beginning to do a lot of testing. And that, again, that can come in the form of, you know, small bits of money into paid ads, but really I like to do it by just getting out there and talking to a lot of different customers or potential customers and refining from there.
Well, I love that. And then I think this would be kind of switching gears. I know now you've kind of mentioned that you're trying to scale up, you know, Marketbox. Like how did you get into that and kind of transition from Aqua Mobile to that?
Yeah. So a few different things happened. kind of the perfect storm, I would say. So a couple of years ago, so Aqua Mobile's been, you know, growing steadily for, you know, for a number of years. It's, you know, it was never meant to be kind of that, you know, $100 million rocket ship business, which, you know, we didn't mention before, but that was, you know, kind of one of the other reasons why I never took money or even thought about it for Aqua Mobile. It just wasn't that type of business. But anyways, so I guess a couple things. I personally started to feel a little bit, you know, maybe unfulfilled with what I was doing. I felt a bit stagnant in my career, and I felt that I, you know, had all of this knowledge that I wanted to get out there and share it with other marketplace businesses, other entrepreneurs, other founders, to stop them from, you know, making some of the mistakes I had made and to learn from the areas where I had found success. And so there was kind of that was happening on one side of things. And then on the other side, I started to have other business owners, founders starting to approach Aqua Mobile asking about our software and asking us who built it, because they are looking for something like that for their business. So I had, you know, businesses, one of them, for example, did mobile beauty services. Another one, you know, did in-home music lessons. And then another one did in-home personal training. So those were just a few of the examples of the companies that were approaching me. And so for a while, I'd been thinking about how can I help other business owners? And then these business owners started to come to me, and I actually realized the way that I can get out there and make a bigger impact than what I'm currently doing is to share the knowledge that I've gained over these years and share it through technology. And so that's how MarketBox came to be. It was really taking the idea of the product from Aqua Mobile's tech platform and replatforming it so that other businesses, whether they're service marketplaces or if they're just service businesses that, you know, are providing, you know, mobile services, then they have a solid platform that they can use that meets their business needs. And, you know, I found it kind of funny that all of these years later, you know, I originally built the software internally for Aqua Mobile because I couldn't find a SaaS product that would work for my business type, which is why we went the custom route and why we did at one point in Aqua Mobile have our own engineering team that was working on this. And so all of these years later, there was still not a good product out there, which would basically have that e-commerce side of things for these service businesses so that they could allow customers to self-book, self-serve, self-pay, while also managing the logistics of all of the service providers, such, you know, and things like travel zones and travel time. Because a lot of the scheduling software out there still to this day is really focused on businesses that don't have a mobile workforce and are just focused in maybe provide services at a bricks and mortar location. And, you know, just even beyond that, I think one of the big problems for e-commerce right now for service businesses is that very few of the softwares that currently exist are thinking about the customer experience before they even become a customer. And because they provide a poor customer experience, you see fewer service businesses selling online versus the boom that we've seen with product businesses.
And then I think that's a really amazing kind of description there. I think the follow-up question to that I have to that is, you know, I know it's still early days, but have there been bigger differences when kind of now scaling MarketBox compared to Aqua Mobile that you've kind of, as you're learning, as you're going through this process?
Aqua Mobile was easier to bootstrap for sure. I did not attempt to bootstrap MarketBox. I knew from day one that I did need to have, you know, some money in place so that I could have a strong A-plus team of engineers to build the product. And that takes, you know, money and a vision for something kind of big. Aqua Mobile, the idea wasn't necessarily super exciting to all sorts of engineers that wanted to, you know, no one was going to leave Shopify to come and be an engineer at Aqua Mobile. But the idea of what we're building at MarketBox, the vision, the idea is much bigger. And it's a lot easier to find great team members who are also excited about the mission and the vision.
And then what would you say is the biggest difference from, you know, trying to, when you built a marketplace business to now kind of building like a SaaS business?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me personally, I love with SaaS businesses, what I love is that it's super quantitative. You can really start to see patterns and and just follow those patterns to grow your revenue. That's one. And I also really like that, you know, if you're doing a good job in your SaaS business, you're just, you know, your customers are very likely to stay with you. And because of that, it's much easier to grow a business. Whereas a very solid chunk of, you know, Aquamobile's revenue, for example, and I think this is the same for a lot of marketplace businesses, that's more transactional. And every January 1st, we start with $0 of revenue again. We have to earn it back for the entire year, you know, and especially something with the nature of swimming lessons. Yes, it's, you know, someone can return. Maybe they return for 2 seasons, maybe 3 seasons, but it's not like, you know, software as a service, which people can be on for years and years and years.
That totally makes sense. And then I think just a kind of a few last questions I have for you is, you know, your entrepreneur and founder journey. What would you say that you've learned the most, right? I think people talk a lot about being a founder and how amazing it is and how glamorous. And then, you know, the reality is that at times that's not really the case. And I think it would just be really great for you kind of to share, like, what would you say are like the things that get you excited and some of the biggest challenges you have to try to overcome as being an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the things that excite me, I think it's about being able to be innovative and to create something new that can really help people. That's what I get excited about, that can really make a difference to other people. You know, I told you I kind of had that stagnation for, you know, a little bit where I felt stagnant in my professional career. And then when everything kind of clicked and the idea was coming together for Marketbox, I could not sleep because I was so excited again. You know, so to be able to have that passion again and that excitement was just an amazing feeling. And I think in terms of some of the challenges of being an entrepreneur, it is not this, you know, kind of linear, straight up. It just doesn't happen that way. Whether it's especially in the beginning, it can be very bumpy. And I think that's, you know, anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur needs to know that that is just par for the course. It's okay. You know, expect that there are going to be some bumps along the road. It's not just this, okay, find a team, build a product, and sell. It doesn't just happen in those very discrete stages without bumps along the way. So I think even like as a second-time founder, I can definitely see that, you know, it helps. I definitely see the benefits of being a second time founder because I know what to expect and it doesn't faze me as much as it might have if I were like a first time founder. So that would be my advice to people. Just know that there's going to be bumps and it's okay. And you just got to take it one step at a time and come up with a plan to work around it. I mean, we even did that at Marketbox, you know, even with the pandemic. Like, I mean, when we first started Marketbox, it was meant specifically for businesses with mobile workers. And a lot of that kind of fell apart or, you know, couldn't happen for a number of months under the pandemic. So we could have looked at that as a challenge, but instead it was like, okay, this is a little bump. Let's adapt. And we built a Zoom integration so that we could also help businesses offer virtual services. And so that right there actually made us come up with an even bigger business idea than what I had initially envisioned for Marketbox. So just know that something might seem like a bump in the road, but it will actually force you to become a better company or a better entrepreneur.
And then what would you say as you're leading and scaling, or, you know, a company or organization, what do you think the core like things that person needs to focus on? Is it like the people? Is it like, you know, managing, being fiscal responsible? Like, what would you say those core things are?
Oh, I mean, it's a balancing act. I mean, yeah, you definitely strong team 100%. I mean, I've got, you know, an amazing CTO who is also a second time founder. And so it's really great to have that support system of someone else who has been through the experience and knows what to expect, knows about the bumps along the way. Yeah, you definitely have to make sure you have a strong team. I think the biggest thing that I'd like to emphasize though is selling. As a founder, you are always selling, whether you're selling to potential customers or to investors or to potential people to join your team, that is your job, is to always be selling. And so I think that is the big thing. If you are not comfortable, if you want to start something, you are not comfortable talking to people about your idea, you have to start getting comfortable with it, because it's one of those things you can't just necessarily hire a sales team. I mean, you can and you will at some point as you grow, but in those early days, people want to hear from you and what your vision is of where you want to take the company.
Awesome. And then I think just one of my last questions is just around, if you have, if there's some listeners listening in right now that are aspiring to eventually start their own company, go off and become a first-time entrepreneur for the first time, what would be advice you would give them to kind of get started?
Yeah, my big piece of advice is, even if you're in a full-time job right now, it's really important to spend, at least a couple hours a week, put a regular chunk of time, block it off in your calendar, whether it's before you go to work in the morning or an evening or a couple hours on the weekend, and really set that time aside to think about ideas and brainstorm. People, I think there's this misconception that, this magical idea will one day just pop into your head. And it doesn't just happen like that. You have to create space in your life for that idea to happen or for you to get that spark. And so that's my biggest piece of advice, is make the time now, block it out, because it just becomes too easy otherwise to push it off to the next week, or, you're exhausted from life, from your day job, and you just never get around to it. So that's my big piece of advice. And then the second thing is just launch. Don't get caught up in trying to have the perfect product, the perfect service, the perfect idea. Just launch and see if there's even a market for what you want to do. The people that I see that never get their business off the ground are those that are trying to make it perfect. Much better to launch something that's not perfect or far from perfect and get feedback and build from there. You got to get over that initial hump.
Amazing. I love that answer. And then I think just kind of finish things off, we always ask our guests, people listening in, and they want to kind of learn more about you or kind of follow around with your thoughts, like how can they get in touch?
Yeah. So I'm active on Instagram at Diana Goodwin or on Twitter at Diana M. Goodwin. That's the best way to reach out to me. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. And then you can also check out what we're doing at MarketBox at www.gomarketbox.com. And yeah, if there's anyone out there who actually thinks that, they want to start a business and the MarketBox software could help you guys get going, please reach out.
Amazing. Well, I know our listeners are going to love this episode. And again, just thanks for coming on and sharing your thoughts. It's going to be a great episode.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this. Thank you.